This episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising is sponsored by Green Chef.
This episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising is also available for your viewing pleasures on YouTube. If looking at people while they podcast is your thing, then you can click the YouTube link in our show notes and gaze along as we talk our shit. Inner Hoe Uprising. Welcome to the Inner Hoe Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist hoe who lives in New York City, who is singularly vaxxed up but doubularly cheeked up on a Thursday afternoon and all days, and my pronouns are she and her.
Hey, I'm me, Rodeca, one fat, black, pansexual is what I
want to say. Oh, baby.
Well, now everyone knows, so
the after the second out. Vaccine, we can see what it do.
We're going to figure it out. No.
We're absolutely not going to do that, ever.
But me, Rodeca, a fat, black, existentialist, polyamorous femme whose life is a series of coincidences that somehow landed her here, double vaccinated, you know, give it a week, we're gonna be safely out here, okay? It's not an excuse, guys, but my pronouns are she and her.
Every episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising works like this. Myself and my lovely rotating co-host talk about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally, we hit you with interviews with insightful folks or do deep dive episodes on a topic of our choice. On this episode, it's coming out either on 420, if I edit it in time, or the day after 420. But you get it, niggas. You get what we're going for, okay? So we're talking all about cannabis on this episode. Things like, how does weed affect your sex life? Herbal self-care tips, cannabis meals to cook for your bae, dating as a weed user, black folks, marijuana, incarceration, lot of shit, and much more.
And if you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you could do so by using the hashtag InnerHoeUprising so we can see it and the hashtag PodIn so other people can see it. And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at InnerHoeUprising without the G on Twitter, InnerHoeUprising on Instagram and Facebook. You can join our Facebook group by searching InnerHoeUprising Community, which is CUMMUNITY. And you can head over to InnerHoeUprising.com to pay a hoe.
And if you want to pay us to speak virtually at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, podcasting, or other kinds of topics that we discuss on this here show, or if you'd like us to host a consent, pleasure, or dating virtual workshop for your organization, we would love to do all of the things. To book us, you can send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to do some in-person things later in the year, we're open to that too. So send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com. Let us get into our first segment of the day. Today, we're talking all about cannabis, meals, sex, love, and dating with our guest, Woo! Chef Steph.
Hello. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. I'm like, I feel like I'm listening to the video like live. I'm like, oh, I'm in this week's episode. So I'm really pumped.
You're here.
Yes. Thank you.
Love it. We're going to go ahead and formally introduce you, Steph.
Chef Steph is a self-taught cannabis chef originally from Seattle who is currently residing in Chicago. Her food inspiration includes their ancestors of New Orleans and the diaspora, her upbringing in the Pacific Northwest, and her travels both local and abroad. Steph's brand, Highly Favored, intends to highlight the intimate, joyful, and safe practices of cannabis in cooking and cultivation. She aspires to create a Black farm-to-table experience by collaborating with Black cannabis cultivators, chefs, and community farms. She also strives to create premium products that look, feel, and taste great.
All right, so we have a very important question for you off rip. It's the question of the hour. How high are you right now?
Okay, I'm manageable high. I'm like very excited. I knew my anxiety was going to be high because I'm pumped. I'm very pumped. So it's just kind of like, I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, a smooth 7. I'm up there. You know what I'm saying?
That's good.
I'm floating. I'm having a good time, but I'm not like thrown off. Now, we'll see in about 5 minutes.
And that's why you got to keep listening, that's folks. Why you gotta keep listening, who knows? You know? Who knows where this is going to take? So, a little bit of background before we hop into this interview with Steph for listeners who are like, okay, is everybody high right now? Me and Rodeca had a conversation with this in regards to the production of this episode. I originally pitched Rodeca and Steph to be high and yes. myself to never be high because I'm way too fucking nervous for that shit. For that shit to be done here on this podcast, like, that's a version of me that I don't want any of y'all to see. So I was like, I'm removing myself out from it. And we thought about Rodeca getting high. And we thought, because Rodeca is going to be doing a lot of like sciencey stuff in the later half of this episode, that it might be best if she wasn't high.
But I'm high in spirit. And I, you know, I can relate to what it's like to be high. I wasn't high too long ago. So if that makes you guys feel any better, I was high not too long ago. So
how many hours out?
Oh, like last night. I was okay. Blazed. So like, but this morning, if I was high this morning, then I'd still be high now. So I'm sober, but you know, I know what it's like. I'm a very avid user to this community. So it's great.
Cool. Yes. Okay. All right. Let's move on to our next question.
So next question is, to start, what's your history with cannabis? Where'd you start? How'd you get here?
Oh, how did I get here? So my first experience with cannabis, I was in high school, junior year, like smoked out of like a water bong, like very simple, not too crazy, got in a shitload of trouble. Waited until I got to college, and then I started smoking weed like regularly. I would go get my nails done. I would get like a dime bag of weed, some Swishers. Later, as I got into like later into college, when I got my own place, I was having like IBS, so like stomach problems. So like it was a mess. It was not cute. But like the one thing I would do, I would just like smoke and smoke. And so it helped with like the pain. It helped with like the anxiety. It helped with a lot of different things. And like around that same time, I had just turned 21. Weed had just become legalized in Seattle. So I was like, it's lit. Like, I got a job. I got my own place. Like, with my friend, she was not a smoker, but she didn't give a fuck. She was like, oh, I like the smell of weed. I was like, okay, girl, like, perfect, you know? Because that's all you're going to smell. Like, even my mom, I remember when she would visit, I would like, put like cinnamon sticks on the stove, like try to make my own fake potpourri, and she would be like, it smells like weed. Like, she was just not fucking with it, like, at all. So
the cinnamon stick, I've never heard of that
before. If you boil like cinnamon sticks, sometimes I'll put like cloves in there, like different spices, especially like fall time, put it on the back burner, just add some water, and it's like, it's a nice, like, you know, easy chemical free deodorant. So
yeah.
But yeah, so I would just like smoke a lot, and then like out of college too, I was like, where the hood niggas at? Like, let's go. Let's have a good ass time. Like, I'm just turned 21. I'm getting a week, like a bi-weekly paycheck. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm living it up.
Where the hood niggas at? Yeah. I love that clip. All right. So where the hood niggas at?
Yeah. So out of college, I was just like, yeah, 21, young, having fun. Like, it's lit. I was living in Seattle at that time. And I'm originally from Olympia, Washington. I don't want, like, people from Seattle to be like, this bitch lying. Like, I'm originally from Olympia. But nobody knows where the fuck Olympia is. So, like, I'm from Seattle. So I was living in Seattle at the time. I was just having a good time. And then somebody that I, like, had started dating, it's a whole, like, oh, like Zane, one of those like a Terry McMillan chronicle, waiting to exhale.
Oh,
like,
no.
Type of experience. But you know what? It is, you know, you live and you learn. But I got introduced to like growing. And so I got really invested in kind of learning our first like plant together, RIP. Her name was Matilda. Like, we grew a little bit, or he had started to teach me about growing. And I just started learning more about weed, like learning more about the black market side of weed, per se. You know what I'm saying? And then eventually we broke up at that time. And then I started getting into edibles, transitioned into just doing it for my friends. I would make like cookie and brownie boxes for my friends, like around Christmas time. And they'd be like high dose. Like, we would be stuck, like just having a good ass time. And like, that's when I started experimenting with it. And now this has been over like 6 years or so of experimenting mm-hmm. with weed, and now eventually kind of turning that into something I do on the side for like my friends and things like that. So yeah, that's my history with cannabis.
What an amazing story that was. That sounds like a good like 7-episode series on Amazon Prime that I would watch.
Thank you.
Just a natural progression, and just like seeing how everything goes and where the
it had ups and downs and shit. Yeah. Fucking Matilda had passed away, RIP to the first plant. Like, That was a good story.
Love, romance, all that. That was it.
Yeah. It's a story. I've got stories. That's on stories. I was like, I'm very open. We can talk. I've like smoked weed for now consistently for at least like 6 years, like daily. And like my uncle, he was like, so how much weed do you smoke? And he was like, let's say like a little bong hit a day. And I was like, you don't need to know my business. Like at some point I smoked like 5 backwoods a day to like, just now, right now, I'm smoking my bong to like 2 things in my bong. So it varies, but yeah.
Let's get into the entity that is Chef Steph, right? So tell us about the process from going to a cannabis user to a grower to kind of doing things for your friends on the side to being a straight up cannabis chef. What inspired you to begin this venture?
I've always loved to cook. And like, this is really embarrassing because when I was younger, I started cooking when I was about like 10 years old, and I would be in the kitchen. Like my dad would go to work, like, and then he would come from like 12:30 to 1:30 or some shit. And I would turn the grill on, like make burgers. And I used to watch Food Network all the time, between like Food Network, Bravo, MTV, a little bit of Oxygen and Lifetime. Like I was in there. And so I always watched food shows. And so I would be in the kitchen and I would be like, I'm in my kitchen right now, actually. But I would be in my kitchen. I'd be like talking to the people, giving them advice. Like it was always something I really enjoyed cooking. My family is huge on food. And so just like everybody can cook in my family. So I always grew up around food, always was interested in food. But it was definitely something I still kind of kept to the side. Like it was something I was good at. And I would always like do it for friends. Like if you came over to my house, I'd cook for you, like all types of stuff like that. But it was just something I kept it to the side. So then I really started to enjoy cannabis. And then I think eventually I'm trying to like figure out when was that moment. I think it was the breakup with that person. And then I was like, you know what? I love weed. Like I'm gonna do something with weed. Like let's make this shit happen. And that's actually crazy to think about because it happened twice. But like in the same way, I don't know. I just started to cook and I always loved to cook. And I finally had my own place. I had a little bit of money. And so I was like, okay, I'm in the place where I can kind of just like explore this. And again, like stuff with my stomach, it was something that was like, okay, I can't always afford, because I feel like sometimes when you make your own oils, if you like to consume cannabis daily, like edibles are a really good option, because if I can't always afford to go get a 3-5 or go get an ounce or whatever, at least I can cook with cannabis. So that's what I started to do for my friends. Everybody enjoyed it. And I was also starting to pick up on like different cannabis trends and realize like, okay, cannabis is really growing. Like, especially being in Seattle, it was like, wow, I could go to the dispensary right down the street at 9 o'clock in the morning and go buy this or whatever. Or, you know, it was just so much more accessible. And I was like, okay. And I started to dream about it a little bit more. And I remember telling my mom in front of my aunts, and my aunts, they consume cannabis. My mom doesn't. And I was like, I think what I really want to do is open like a soul food restaurant, and I want it to be weed infused. And all my aunts were like, hell yeah, hell yeah. My mom was like, absolutely not. Like she was not with the vision. And then I just kept thinking about it. And then as I started cooking more, as I started consuming more and getting exposed to cannabis in different places, I just kind of took it on. And so in the last year or so, I really took it more seriously. I moved to Chicago. I started doing like baby showers, friends, you know, family, friends, birthday dinners and things like that, to starting to do delivery. And all these different options have like opened up and available to me, which has been really amazing. And so, yeah, I just started to take it more seriously. And I'm really trying to understand, like, I don't know, like before we get into capitalism too much, like labor, like Black women in the history of cooking, like that in itself is really interesting and really dope. But there's also a lot of labor and work. And I don't know. I also like to just enjoy food. I really like the experience of food.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to understand and navigate that relationship as a chef. How do I create that for other people? But also how do I make it well for me as well? Because sometimes you get drained doing all this. So it's been a really interesting experience, but that's how I kind of got more into the food world.
So what you're saying is your Amazon Prime series doesn't just end after Matilda died. It continues until you fucking get this restaurant that I'm ready to hit up.
Yeah, like, we're speaking to an existence. That's my part two. It's it's an up and down. There's a lot of, I guess I like, one thing I'm like, I always struggle with story, right? Because I think like it's when you're branding yourself and you want to be authentic and you want to like share who you are, I'm always so, you know, very nervous to share my story, right? Because it's very, I'm a very open person. If you ask somebody very close to me, they'll be like, oh girl, like they know my nail tech. Like if anybody murders me, I need this on public record. If anybody kills me, go to my nail tech. Didi, she knows exactly what happened. She knows exactly who it was. Like, so yeah.
Shout out to D.
Yeah. Shout out to
Didi. Dee's a good listener, man.
I have another off the cuff question. I guess that wasn't really a question, but another question that we did not plan for. But you said you're in your kitchen right now. Would you be open to giving us a tour of sorts?
Oh, girl, no. I'm so sorry. Okay. Okay. I am so sorry. It's fine. Not today. And that's why I was like, okay, let me go buy my cute little painting. Okay.
That is a cute little painting.
No, it is like,
what's in there though? Not so like, it wasn't so much for the YouTube listener, shout out to YouTube, but it was more so for like the immersive audio experience. Like, I just want to know, like, are there tinctures around? Yeah. Like, what's going on
right now
there?
I am standing next to my seasoning. So we have plenty of like onion powder, plenty of seasoning, yeah, plenty of flavor. So a lot of seasoning. I have my butters, I have oils. They have to like be in a cool, dry, dark place. So I have them over somewhere else.
Yes.
But my beloved air fryer, I like love it. Yeah. I believe in it. I don't have a microwave, but I honestly think one day like there's going to be like a settlement claim for air fryers because I think they're too good.
It's got to be a catch. Yeah, it's got to be something that's wrong with them.
I don't know. Yeah. They're too good. There's so many things you can do in an air fryer. Yeah.
That's funny. That's funny. Okay, cool. We appreciate the mini tour stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking about food and just like you were talking about the dream about the restaurant, but you also made a point to say that you wanted a Black specific farm to table experience. What weight does that hold? Well, why specifically that experience, but also what weight does that hold considering this country's history with Black folks, marijuana and incarceration and, you know, policing and all that type of stuff? We don't actually have the best history.
Yeah, that's like a huge question. That's a huge question. Oh, so I think being in the Black chef space, I don't know, just the idea first of like being a chef, right? Like who gets to call people a chef? Because there's plenty of people in our families, in our communities that we know that can cook their ass off. Like, you know whose auntie makes the best like potato salad. Like, you know who to go to. And so it's just kind of like, I call myself a chef. I haven't gone to professional training. I thought about it. And then I watch YouTube videos about it. And people are like, you don't need to do it. Like, if you can cook, just cook and keep learning. So that's where I focus. In the same way that, like, everything is very repetitive. And this might be like, oh, damn, this bitch is high. But, like, everything is very cyclical. Everything is very repetitive. And history repeats itself, right? And so in that same sense, what's happening with cannabis that has happened to so many different industries is like exploitation, right? So like exploitation of Black culture, exploitation of Black people, and for white profit, right? Not for our own profit and not for our own gain. And that's bullshit. Like, that pisses me off. And you see that daily happening from like, I've had it happen with my own food experiences, like posting something. So like my page is restricted. So if you're like a Black cannabis influencer, it's really hard to get your stuff out there. It's really hard to get sponsorships. And when you start talking about inequity, when you start talking about all the different problems with cannabis, other than I just have this really cute pre-roll, I look cute and I want to smoke. Like when you get past some other things, people don't want to hear that. People just want to enjoy weed for what it is. And they just want to take all the people are in jail. Like, yeah, we get it. Like the war on drugs, but like it's weed. Like everything's cool now. It's not. Like it's not. And so what happens is like a lot of times of just like credibility, people take and they steal different ideas. They steal different things. And then Black women, often we don't get credit for our own shit.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to be like in this space as a Black chef, but it's really exciting because there is a lot of Black community. And so in that, in the fact that like, basically I just hate capitalism and what it does, like the different systems of it and how it really like is replicated in so many different spaces, particularly in cannabis, I want to create something that sustains itself. I want to create something that I know that the reality is that even if weed is legal in the state of Illinois and the state of Washington, Black people, especially, they just did an article in Chicago, are 3 times more likely to be incarcerated for having like 30 grams of weed in comparison to anybody else. And so I know that, like, as a Black person, me consuming weed, it's not looked at as pleasure. It's criminalized, right? Like, white people get to enjoy weed. We're addicted to it. Like, there's no, like, bitches just love to smoke a blunt, you know? Like, we don't get to have that same luxury. And so when I dream about, like, a different space, when I dream about that, that is, like, Black liberation in the vein of having my own space, right? Having access to my own land, having access to my own things. And like 2020 was like, I was like in survival mode. I was like, when the shit dropped, when COVID dropped, I was like, what am I was like, you know, with the toilet paper, I was like, can I cook for myself? Can I fend for myself? Like, if this shit turns into The Walking Dead, I don't have a gun. Like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Like, I can't survive. I'm out. I'm the first one out. Like, it's not gonna be cute. So I was just like, I really, like, when I dream about, because I'm like, I want to live into my 80s. I want to live into my 90s, right? And, like, I see older Black women in my neighborhood, and I'm like, girl, how'd you do it? Like, what did you do? And so I'm trying to redefine, like, that sustainability and satisfaction within me personally as a, like, individual, but then also for myself, for my community, for people that I love. And really, that means, like, going back to, like, rejecting a lot of this capitalist bullshit, existing outside of a system that is not designed for me, that does not give a fuck about me, will never give a fuck about me, and creating something for myself and creating something for, like, the people around me. And that is accessible, that is luxurious, that is delicious, that has so much to offer where we can enjoy it. And the fact that, like, so many stakeholders and so many really, like, white people are pushing Black people out of cannabis, but trying to use our work, trying to use our culture to do it, keep it. I don't want that. I want to create something for me that can sustain itself. So Black farm to table, and then also growing cannabis. It's very prosperous growing hemp. Like, I highly suggest that, like, even people who are interested in growing at home, like, invest in that. You can save a lot of money. You might spend a lot of money up front, but you can save in that. And then also just, like, there's a lot of different Black farmers that I've connected with and people who are invested in giving back to ourselves in a way that the world doesn't always give back to us. So that's what I want to see. I'm thinking I want it to be, like, outdoor. You can have, like, birthday parties, anniversary parties. I see string lights. I see, like, a good ass DJ. It's going to be nice. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the dream of what I'm working towards, because I think it's definitely possible. And we deserve it. We deserve it. And I don't want to always feel a fear around me being a cannabis user, because I would be lying if I said I didn't have any fear.
I love it. I love the vision that you have for this world. And one of the parts that I really centered and zero in on is when you were like, I deserve to have pleasure as a cannabis user, as somebody who's making cannabis, and people, Black people in particular, who use cannabis deserve to experience that pleasure in cannabis use. So I want to transition a little bit. February is your anniversary month for Highly Favored. And this past February, you actually curated some Valentine's Day dishes for the lovers. So can you tell us about that? And yeah, like, what made you want to do that? How did it go? How was the experience for the folks who enjoyed the food? Let us know.
So for Valentine's Day, yeah. Oh my God. Oh, like, I don't want to cry, but I'm such a crier. But, like, Valentine's Day is always so special to me just because I'm a huge, like, lover. Like, I love love. I love pleasure. I love sensual, like, experiences. Like, turns me on. Like, I just love it. And Valentine's Day is, like, any, like, day of the year. I mean, any day of the year, you can dress, like, however you want. But especially days where, like, in public, it's, like, I can do whatever the fuck I'm gonna do. Like, Halloween and Valentine's Day are, like, my two, and my birthday are, like, 3 favorite holidays of the year, because I'm out here, you know? So this Valentine's Day, around the same time, so I had started my business, like, right at the end of, like, Mardi Gras of 2020. And so that corresponds right around Valentine's Day. I was doing internet dating, and this guy, me and him connected, real cool, whatever. But, like, whatever, like, 3 weeks later, he has a full-blown girlfriend. And I was like, okay, like, all right. Like, we weren't, like, connecting, it's like that. But it was like, damn, like, y'all married?
Damn, like, What's going on?
Niggas like, be like that most times.
Always.
So yeah. Quick. So I was just like, all right, like whatever. But he did this beautiful thing for his girlfriend. And so I had, my spinach and artichoke dip. It's so bomb, super cheesy, like with infused garlic bread. And then I did either Cajun seafood or grilled chicken pasta with like a side Caesar. And then this fudge brownie a la mode. So it was just like, honestly, if you're trying to get some and it's Valentine's Day and like back in the day, it's like I'm going to Olive Garden type shit. So I was like inspired by like, what are some classic foods that like everybody loves? And you just like, ooh, that nigga bought me some fettuccine. You're like, you're busting it open. So yeah, that's what I did. So yeah, I did the food and then I also did like a little photo shoot and I was busting it wide open online. And that was really fun. So I had a great time. So it was a great Valentine's
Day. Yeah. We do have questions just, about you busting about it wide shoot. Open, yeah. But the food sounds delicious. But yeah, let's get to the photo shoot as well.
So in February, you said you mentioned that you did take some photos with a photographer named Josh Housing and did some pretty sensual photo sets. They were great, by the way. They came out really nice. I was on there like, well, what's going on? So what did those photos mean to you? What made you want to do them? And you also mentioned that sensuality before plays a role in your cooking. So can you walk us through that and how that ties into the photos as well?
Definitely. So yeah, so I've always been very like, hashtag trauma. I've been through some shit. So like my understanding of my body has always been very different, right? And so I've always been a very like exhibitionist person. I did like one of those little kink tests and that was like one of my top things. I'm very like, you know, like showy kind of person. So I used to like, and it's actually crazy that when I think about like the history of this, like when I started with cannabis, I used to have like a little 420 party and stuff like that. And I would cook for my friends. We made tacos. It was really bomb. And I had posted, I used to have like a Halloween party and I'm pretty sure I cooked then too. And I posted this kind of like nude photo of me online. And my family like in the comments were being so hateful. They were being so fucking disrespectful. It was so rude. But at that moment, yeah, they were like, I don't want to say it out loud because it's like awful, but it was just like, it was disrespectful as fuck. And that was the moment where I was like, nah, fuck that, man. I'm gonna do what the fuck I want to do. Like, I look great. I'm gonna post myself online. And if you don't like it, then fuck it. And ever since that moment, I used to do like go-go dancing, like in the clubs. And so like, I had photos of me online, busting it wide open and being cute. So I've always done it, but I hadn't done it in a professional, like photo sense way. And like the time that I had started my business, it was like, right pre-COVID, it was like right before COVID had kind of shut the world down and I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And this was like one of the few things in a long time that I really invested in myself, like damn near every day. Like I tried to post every single day, posting different food, trying different things, trying new recipes. And it really was like an investment in myself. And so when I did the photo shoot, I had like went to Joann's Fabrics. I was like, bitch, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Like calling my mom, calling my friend who's good at this, all that different stuff, set it up. And it was like, it came out really good. And I felt like I was really able to show myself. Like my favorite photos is the one where I'm like adjusting my thing in the mirror and like looking at myself. I really like that one. But then I did have the one where I was tooting it up. And then I took that one down. Cause I was like, ooh, if there are some people who like, probably want to invest that I'm like, okay, well, I don't need everybody seeing that. So like different stuff, but
yeah, they came out great. Like I said, we were out here and I loved it. Yeah.
Niggas was thirsting though. It's me. I'm niggas.
Rebecca's call me. Niggas
too. I'm definitely niggas.
I'm down. And I want to cook for y'all too. So like we can have some infused food. I'm double vaxxed. So we're waiting on you, Sam.
Well, look at that. We just talked about this. Let's go.
Almost I'm down. There. I'm almost there. And I'm ready. My body is ready in more ways. I didn't mean it like that, though.
You did say it. I was like, damn, we out here, huh?
I meant for the food and the weed. let me stop. Okay, Sam. Get it together. All right. So I think these, like, I love how you're into Halloween and Valentine's Day and stuff like that. And I feel like you dig a theme and you like playing to a vibe. And that's the exactly kind of bitch I am. So I'm curious to know, like, what other kind of food experiences do you curate as a chef, or what do you have in the cards? I know you had mentioned baby showers and stuff like that. Like,
yeah,
what,
that was like, that was like the beginning. So I think my favorite experience is what I did. I have a reel of it on my page when I did Thanksgiving for my friends. And really what I love for, like, myself with cooking, and I think, like, to go back to, like, I hate capitalism, labor. So much of, like, Black women is expected with labor. So much of, like, especially Black women chefs, like, you think of, like, throwback to, like, slavery, but, like, the plantation houses, like, all of those different things of, like, always Black women cooking. And that's also something that's very, like, reminiscent of my family. My grandmother, she used to have, like, it wasn't a pop-up shop then, but, like, basically pop-ups and, like, selling sandwiches and selling, like, drinks and snacks, like, all these different things. And then, so she was a chef, right? But I don't know if she would have called herself a chef, like, at that time, but just so much of what is expected. And I was watching Chef's Table on Netflix, and there's a chef, Mashama, I think I'm saying her name correctly. And she was like, when people think of a Southern restaurant, they think of, if there's not a Black woman, like, frying chicken in the back, is it good? You know? And it's so much of this expectation of, like, Black women to be cooking, for us to be working and to be tired, right? Like, so often I remember growing up, and, like, Thanksgiving was a time that, like, by the time my mom used to do it, and she wouldn't even want to eat at the end. And then I started doing it, and I started to see that. And it was just like, she's just sitting there, like, you know, like, this awful picture of, like, oh, I'm just, you know, just, I didn't like that. And so I'm just like, I'm a bitch that very much enjoys pleasure, that very much is a little bougie. Okay. But, like, that's not a bad thing. And I just enjoy to relax a little bit as well. And I also love to be of service. So I lost my train of thought. Basically, oh, I hate labor. I hate capitalism. I just want to say that a couple times because they're the fucking worst. If, like, that's the only thing that's important. But what was your question again? Remind me.
I love a I hate labor tangent, though. So, like, do not feel bad for going off on that. The question was, what kinds of experiences do you curate?
Yeah. So, for me, I love creating experiences for my family, for my friends, really intimate experiences. And I'm trying to understand what that looks like when people are all vaccinated, or we're as safe as we can be, and create these different pop-ups. But basically, my Thanksgiving this year, I had a really close friend of mine come and visit. We went to another friend of mine, and, like, I made all these different things. And the theme was just like, I mean, fuck colonizers. I'm not here for, like, the story of Thanksgiving. I'm here for, like, the food, like every other Black person. Like, that's what I'm here for. But I basically wanted to do just this idea of, like, Black luxury, and just, like, you know, in medieval times, and, like, I don't know, this is, like, a really weird reference, but, like, do you remember that Martin Lawrence movie, Black Knight?
When you said medieval, that's exactly what my mind fucking went to. Steph.
That was so not weird at here. All.
We are here.
Right there.
Yes, TBS. They used to play it all the fucking time.
TBS, yes.
Yes.
And I love that movie. Yes. I was like, this is a nigga in medieval times. Like, turn the fuck up. Like,
he was having time. Dance to the music. Remember that?
Yes. Oh my God. So it was like, I just think of, like, okay, what would it be like if I could literally, oh wow. Okay. Yeah. What would it be like if I could create that experience with my own food for my friends, where it's just so many different, like, fresh foods, fried foods, delicious foods. And I love a good brunch. So I did, like, different quiche bites, some with shrimp and bacon, some with fresh veggies. What else did we make? I had this, like, citrus beet salad with some feta and some basil on that as well. So something fresh and bright. And then this is, like, my most favorite thing. And so, like, I always, when I'm cooking, like, this is what I search for. I'm a very, like, emotional person. So I'm like, if I tear up a little bit, I'm like, this bitch gonna be good. Like, this shit gonna be real good, you know? And so I need those moments. And so I was like, what would be, okay, everybody does a turkey, but one, I'm, like, cheap. And I want to try something different. Like, what if I fry drumsticks, like turkey drumsticks and, like, turkey wings? And so, you know, like, turkey's freaking huge. And I was just like, so I did some rotisserie in this, like, orange glaze, and it was brown sugar glaze. It was really delicious. And then I fried some turkey. And while I was frying the turkey, I, like, have it, like, on my little reel or whatever, my highlight. And I was, like, tearing up a little bit. I was like, this is what it's about. Like, it's for the people. Like, this is some really good food. food. So I'm just like a very sentimental person. And like the way that I give is definitely like in love through my food. And so I think really what that comes back to is, again, like trauma is like when I was younger, I dealt with some shit and it was just like spaced out. Girl wasn't there. Homegirl was not present. Like I was just doing the things, whatever. But food was something that was like, it hit me, you know? And I could remember like so much of my childhood. It's like, I don't remember what I was doing in the third grade, but I remember that time that we went to this restaurant. I remember like all, like I remember so many food places and so many different experiences that I've had with food that that was like how my memory was connected. And so I try to figure out how can I recreate that with cannabis? Because like food is basically, it hits like all five of your senses. So it hits, you can see the food, like depending, you know, if you have access to all five, but like see, smell, taste, feel, touch, all of that. And there's not many things that we experience on a daily basis that do that. So I love the ritual of food where you can really like tap in and create your own food memories. And then with like weed infused, it's like you get you. That's why I say I create food that looks, tastes and feels good because it is good food for you. But then also it makes you feel good. And there's something really beautiful about that experience. So that's what I did for Thanksgiving. That's what I'm continuing to do. And that's what I really want to create with a Black farm to table experience. I'm getting food from Black farmers, creating Black food with from Black weed growers, Black cultivators. Like we can sustain ourselves. We can do this for ourselves. And I'm really invested in creating like a really healing experience out of food and out of yeah, not a weed, because it's really fun. It's like a good time.
I'm having so much fun listening to how much you love food, like all aspects of food. Like that five senses about food shit, like that made me want to cry.
I just started smiling and I was just like, wow, like it's something we don't think about but when we're eating it. But it, I do remember a lot of things. It's something that you have so much nostalgia when you smell something that's familiar. Yes. And like, especially when it's a cultural thing. So for me, like Haitian food is always going to be like, oh man, it makes me think of my mom, or it makes me think of just like being at home and the things I took for granted, like these big bowls of food. And now I'm like, damn, I wish I had some rice, you know, like. Yeah, so it's and in hearing that, I'm like, yeah, it really does unlock a lot. Like my, I don't have a lot of memories of my father, but like my father used to put vanilla extract in iced tea. Ooh. I don't know why he did it, but it's a very weird thing. But like if I taste that, that's immediately where it takes me because nobody else does that. Yeah. So it's just like, it's very interesting. I didn't, yeah, you kind of, you got me.
You're tugging at the heartstrings, Steph.
You got me. I'm like, damn, sir. I think about my dad, and I'm like, you know.
Yes, I did. See,
that's
my
an
job.
Experience. That's a fucking that's an food experience.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this right now, I'm sure hearing us talk about food so much on this week's episode has got you hungry. So let's stick to the topic of food for a bit and talk about Green Chef. Green Chef is the first USDA certified organic meal kit company. With Green Chef, you can enjoy clean ingredients you can trust, seasonally sourced for peak freshness. Ingredients come pre-measured, perfectly portioned, and mostly prepped so you can spend less time stressing and more time enjoying delicious home-cooked meals. And I really dig it. I got a plant-powered kit from Green Chef about a week ago, and I whipped up some amazing meals with it. I made southern barbecue baked beans, green pea falafel with tahini, and peanut udon noodle bowls. All delicious, all very simple recipes to follow. Plus, the quick preparation and the pre-portioned ingredients make it perfect for folks who already have a lot on their plates.
Yay!
Thanks for holding me down. Did you enjoy your box, Rodeca?
I did. So I got specifically the keto box because I was like, oh, it's great that they even have this option. I had a pork with carrots and shallots. I don't think I've ever even tried to eat shallots before. So it was just like, you know what? I'm going to cut this up and I'm going to have these capers. And it was delicious. So I was very much happy with how easy it was and how, you know, it's pre-portioned. So it was easy to just kind of jump in there and enjoy the meal.
Yeah. In the past, you might have heard us talking about and singing the praises of a similar meal kit called HelloFresh. Well, plot twist, Green Chef is now owned by HelloFresh. And with a wider array of meal plans to choose from, there's something for everyone. So if you're digging the Green Chef vibes and want to give it a try, man, have we got a deal for you. You can go to greenchef.com/90IHU and use code 90IHU to get $90 off, including free shipping. It's a lot of money. That's $90 off, including free shipping, by going to greenchef.com/90IHU and using the code 90IHU. Let us get a little bit more intimate now with you, Steph, if you don't mind. I think Rodeca has a question for you.
You did touch a little bit in your amazing history with cannabis about relationships, or just like having had one that led to you growing Matilda. And yeah, I see your face. I know. But I want to know a little bit about your experience with being a specifically heavy cannabis user. Has that affected your relationships in general with cannabis and, you know, all that type of stuff?
Yeah. So I think, like, mostly, I mean, niggas like to smoke. A lot of people smoke. Like, a lot of people smoke weed. So I haven't run into too many different issues. I think mostly the biggest things that have stood out in terms of, like, dating around cannabis is dating... like, dating them niggas that sell weed. Like, I'm gonna be real. Like, that's a good portion of my history. And I'd be lying if I didn't tell the truth. But it's just like, but let's like, you know. So I have a type, or I had a type, okay? The streets, like, ate me up. They chewed me. They gargled me. They, like, ugh, and then they spit them back, me back out. They don't want me anymore. And I'm good with that. I'm done. Like, I've stepped out. Like, I'm done, you know?
You're off the streets?
I'm off the streets. What happened? Not meaning that, like, anybody scooped me up. I'm just off the streets, y'all. I'm on the porch. I'm just chilling right now. So basically that was never really an issue, right? Free weed, nigga. Like, you know, you get to chill out. You're having fun. It's a good life. But then when you have to start paying for your own weed, it's like...
That's funny. That's really funny.
That's hard. That's hard. That's not my, like, best thing in the world. So, I mean, my accessibility weed, I just always have made it a priority. I think it's mostly about, like, my mental health. It calms me the fuck down. It gets me right, like, in different ways. And so, you know, and I also had to, like, sometimes I smoke a lot, sometimes I smoke a little bit less. But either way, I've always enjoyed it. So for me, and this is, like, another thing, if I'm being really honest, I like to experiment. I like to have fun. So, like, weed is not the only thing that I've tried, y'all. Like, there's, like, plenty of different substances that when used safely and when used correctly, like, you can have a good ass time. So I'm just, like, I'm very open about
it. I'm here hype.
Yes,
so
exactly.
Am I. Like, yes.
You can have a good, so I'm just like, so I haven't had an issue with it, but I had to say on, like, dating profiles, like, because I've had, like, this experience where, like, first of all, you bring me shitty weed. I know. I did niggas that grow beautiful weed, that grow fine, organic, like, top shelf weed, literally prized weed. Okay? So when you bring me some Reggie shit, I know. I know my weed is better than yours. So that's, like, an issue. Another one is, like, I'm going to roll up. And while I'm rolling up, I'll be like, damn, you want to roll up? Like, if they're not about that life. Now, I'm not saying you have to smoke, but if that makes you uncomfortable, that's not going to be good. I'm going to smell like weed. Okay, like, yeah, it is what it is. And then also, like, if you for professional reasons have to be very discreet, that's fine, but I'm not. So that's another thing. Or you run into the issue where niggas be like, yeah, I smoke da 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 da, but I'm saying every time you come through, bring your 3-5 or go home. So, like, what's up? So, like, just different experiences. And then the one I hate the most is, like, niggas that be like, oh, I can out smoke you. Cool. Like, don't, I'm sure you can't. And then on top of that, when I smoke all your weed and you want to get an attitude, I wasn't supposed to smoke it. One guy literally told me, he was like, no. I was like, no, what? You bought me all this weed. Like, this guy was tricking on me. He bought me all this weed. He bought an ounce. He bought, like, a thing of wax. He bought, like, moon rocks. He bought all this shit. He bought shrimp. He bought all this shit. And then I was like, in that bitch smoking. Like, I took a couple days off. I'm chilling. And he was like, yeah, you kind of weren't supposed to smoke it. I was like, what the fuck is this? What are you doing?
The fuck were you supposed to do with it? Yeah.
Was it for show?
Like, yeah, he got pissed. And I was just like, you wasted your money, not me. Love to see it.
I have a question going back to the different kind of substance use. Do you cook with other substances?
Is that
a thing?
Okay. I haven't. I know there are folks that do, like, are playing around with psilocybin, so, like, with shrooms. Like, I've experienced, like, shroom chocolates. I've seen, like, shroom honey and shroom different things. I'm, like, when it comes to, because I've tried a good amount of different things that, like, shrooms, I'm very, like, I'm, like, a baby when it comes to shrooms. Like, you know how some people are with weed, we're like, ooh, I can only take a hit. Like, that's how I feel with shrooms. So I've seen people play around with it. My biggest thing, and, like, I know I'm talking about a lot of different things, but safety is really important to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I think most people can identify with, like, a bad, edible experience. Maybe the first time you have it, where you just kept eating the cookie or the brownie and you didn't know when to stop, or you thought you were, like, needed to go to the ER, all that type of shit. And so for me, I use, like, a machine that helps me to check my edibles. I know the dosage, like, in my food. I'm very particular about that. And then, like, just for people who are listening, like, I preach this, like, when you're buying, if you're not buying from a dispensary, if you're buying from somebody that's, like, selling it themselves, ask them, do you know the dosage of this? One. Mm-hmm. If they can't tell you that, don't buy it. Two, if they say they have the dosage, okay, cool. And then also, like, how did you test your dosage? How do you know? And if they're not using, like, something that is, like, already measured, like, some type of equipment, I wouldn't even do it, because some people, like, be doing it in their head or on their calculator, and, like, that's not it. Like, you need to be safe about what you're doing. So I'm very, like, careful about my substance use. but yeah, so, but be careful, be safe. Don't just be trying anything. Like, you don't know people.
I appreciate that. I appreciate the level-headedness of it. And, like, you've kind of said, like, I'm careful about my substance use, as if that's an oxymoron, but it's really not. Like, I'm very much like, no drug should be illegal, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is.
Because it, and then it becomes unregulated and it becomes, I'm going to get it. So exactly. How, yeah.
Or there's like a whole war on drugs crafted around the fact that it's illegal, and then everybody's in jail. Yay. But we're not taking it to a dark place today. Not really. You had said, like, I'm just going to ask you outright. Do you prefer to date other cannabis users?
Absolutely. My preference, ideal, is like somebody who enjoys to smoke weed. They can smoke as much as me, but I prefer to be the one who smokes more, but you just pay for all my weed. Like, you always supply it. It's always on deck. Or, like, you know what I really love? This is the hot shit. I want a nigga just to, like, roll up some weed for me and just be like, I just want to sit there and watch you smoke it. That shit? Rounds. Rounds.
It's the weed version of I just want to eat your pussy. Yeah.
No, but then can you do that while I'm smoking the blunt? Thank you.
Wow, levels. This is amazing.
Okay, so we have that's the sex time. Scene for the we have the sex scene for the series now. We're crafting this plenty. Out.
There's plenty.
For your partners and, like, your fuck buddies, potentials, whomever, do you smoke? I mean, do you cook infused meals for them as well? And is it like a eventually you get there? Is it something that you do at the beginning? Oh no, oh, I see your
no,
face.
I've so gone through it. So I'm such a giver. Like, that's my love language. I'm such a giver. And, like, I've had to work on that and really be good about, like, not everybody. My food is really good food. And I'm not saying that just to, like, say that, but, like, I take time, I put love, I put energy, like, I've done research, like, all these different things that, like, I do that for my friends and my family, and that's always been the most special thing about my food. I didn't really monetize it until later. And it was just like, a lot of niggas ate great meals off of me, y'all. Like, they eat, like, I've been feeding niggas. I've been feeding armies like these niggas, because it's literally just like, I don't know. I used to cook so much for people that weren't, like, intimate, really intimate with me, that now I'm just like, I don't do it anymore. So yeah, you have to work for it. I like to be taken out to eat a lot because I like to try new food. So it's not something I give off rip. But if you do, like, buy food from me, always tip. That lets me know what the fuck is up. I had this one boy that I was fucking with. We were fucking with each other for a good little bit. Good time. And then he bought some food for me, didn't even tip. And I cursed him out. That was the end of the relationship.
Wait, are you saying bought food for you or from you?
From me. He bought food
and didn't
from
tip.
Me.
Okay, gotcha.
And then he said he didn't tip in general, and I was like, "You
oh. That's bad dick energy. That's
I dated someone
that's
who never
funky
tipped.
Funky energy.
And it's hard.
It was bad.
It's not fun.
No, it's not. And so I was like, no, I can't do that. But if you buy from me, I do that initially. But like, if you're around, if you lay it down really well, there's a good chance you'll probably get some free food. Like, I still do samples. All right. Y'all can get samples, but I'm not out here cooking meals for somebody. Cause when I want to do that, I'm like still very like, I don't know, like gushy. I'm like, I want to cook for my family and cook for my children. Yeah. And like that kind of energy. So it's just like, nah, not right now. So take me out. I look cute. I bought so much new shit from Fashion Nova. Take me out.
Love it. Love it. So in the instant, I don't know if this is an experience you've had or maybe something that could happen down the line. If you link up with another cannabis chef, would you let them cook for you?
Wow. Yes. I like actually was, I just was seeing somebody who was like a chef and it was like amazing. It was an amazing experience and like great. Cause like not only did that person like cook for me, but like and had like created so many different like foods that I had never had before, would also just take me out to eat to like different shit. Just like so many good spots. So absolutely. I think the only thing that was hard for me is I got a little intimidated. Cause it was like I think he only ate for me one time because I was just like, he was like a fine dining like type chef. So it was just kind of like, you know, I was scared to cook. But ideally, I think like dating wise, I would want somebody like, you know, those videos where like they bring them the plate and they're like, oh my God, like that's the kind of person I want. Like every time I bring you food, even if it's fucking cereal, you better cry. I need to see a tear. I need to see something.
Like, I do. Amazed. I love those TikTok compilations. Yeah, I love those compilations. Yeah.
It's like I'm still a little heartbroken, y'all. I'm like, damn. It's like I knew there was going to be a question that was like, and I'm like, got it. You did it. Yeah, it's still a little tender.
Sorry.
You know, it's a little tender.
Sorry that didn't work out. Is it done or is there a door open for the future? I'm down prideful. The line kind of thing?
So I think like I need time to get over my shit. Because I think that. There's probably, now I'm like, this nigga gonna hear this. But I think it's just like, I don't know. I'm very like, I'm just in a moment, y'all. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm 25 years old, about to turn 26. This has been, 2020 was a year being from like where I came from a year ago where I wasn't practicing safe substance use, like to now is like huge. And I'm just in a space now where I'm like, oh, I think I need to settle with myself. Like I need to take care of myself, love on myself, like give to myself. And I'm trying to deprioritize romantic relationships like significantly in my life. So I'm open to it and that person is open to it, but I'm just like, I don't know. I do like that person. I like him a lot. I do like him a lot, but I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. I pray it works out the way that it's supposed to.
Yeah. I hope so too.
Same here. Yeah. And if it's that you two own a restaurant 10 years down the line and I'm eating at it.
I know, that's honestly, that was the dream that I had. And then he was like, and I was like, oh okay. So that's what I'm like, so sad about. I'm like, so thanks, Sam. Again, twice.
I'm so sorry. Let me take the knife out. Let me stop. I know. Damn. Okay, Rodega has a much.
This is out of curiosity because I do see, I see your Instagram. I'm like, man, they're eating good. I am curious, how many of your meals that you eat are they infused? Is it all of them?
No, and like I'm just gonna be honest. No, just because I can, but also like your tolerance is different, right? So like I could do like 5 milligrams right now of like my extra virgin olive oil and be like, okay, I'm feeling a little something. But if I do that every single day, like eventually it wears out. And I also smoke too. So I have to be very careful because I am a like heavy cannabis consumer that like I have to play around with different like dosages and stuff. So like sometimes I'll switch from bongs to backwoods to like joints to like my food. And like mostly when I'm on my like period, that's when I'll eat my like infused food. Like that's when I make like an RSO brownie or like an RSO smoothie and just like ride out the pain, like balls to the wall, like I'm having a great time. So not all of my meals are infused, but they easily all can be infused. I just don't always do that.
You said RSO. I'm not sure.
It's Rick Simpson oil. It's like really concentrated THC. So like you can add it and it's like really strong. A lot of people use it for like chronic pain. And especially like if you have like abdominal cramping and things like that, highly recommend it. You have to play around with dosage again. So like starting off really small. It's hard to do because it's like in a syringe, but yeah, that's like another thing that you can use. There's so many different ways to consume cannabis that like people don't think about. Like you can eat it, you can smoke it, you can like, people use pain patches, people use creams, people use so many different ways to consume cannabis that it's not just always someone like smoking, you know?
I fuck with it.
Okay.
Last question, and then we're going to go into, Rodeca has an herbal segment to tell us about many cool things, but like, this is kind of similar to a question that Akua asked on a couple of episodes ago, but are there specific meals that you make for specific occasions in that, like, I know how you said, like, when you have your period, you're like, let me get the RSO brownies. Do you have, like, a pre-date meal or something like that, or, like, pre-hookup meal or something like that, or are there particular concoctions that you pair with different parts of your life?
This is my get right cleanse. So like what I'll do. Okay, this is like if I'm really trying to like get a thumb in my butt. Like, you know what I'm talking about? So like this is like the real details. Yes. And I encourage everybody to follow this method because like this will clear a bitch out. So
okay.
Basically, what I'll do is like I love a good warm salad. So like I like to do, if this is somebody like I'm really trying, then this is a good like 36 hours in advance. So like lunch the day before, we've got a timeline. Lunch the day before, I go for like a warm salad. So like you'll see on my page, I've done some with like some smoked fish. I've done some with like some warm Brussels sprouts. Do something with a lot of greens. Like my gut loves fiber. So like I try to feed it as much fiber as possible. So I'll do something like that so I can start like the pooping process. Basically, this is not cute, but it's the truth. All the while I'm drinking a lot of water, like a lot of water. So then that morning, I'll kind of fast just a little bit as I'm cleaning the poops out. I'll make myself like an RSO smoothie so that it'll last me throughout the day. The anxiety is low before I see my bae. You know what I'm saying? I've already got the outfit picked out, already got the shoes picked out. Like I know what's going on. So I'll make myself a smoothie. Y'all tune in, okay? Dollar Tree has frozen fruit packs. And I talk about this like maybe way too often, but I love it. Literally a dollar, like, oh my God, wait, I'll show y'all at the end. But like literally they have these smoothie packs. I'll blend that together, add a little bit of RSO, maybe a little bit of kefir, which is like some yogurt with a lot of probiotics, or even just like some Jumex, like some juice, water, whatever. Blend that, drink that. Then that gets the body like, vaginas will taste how vaginas will taste, but I like to taste a little fruity. Like I like a little extra, like, you know what I'm saying? So then I'll like drink that. That'll be good. Then I eat a sandwich. So I might do like an infused like fried catfish, something with some carbs so I can hold. And I'm good. We're good to go. I've been drinking hella water. My pussy is wet. Tastes maybe a little bit like mango papaya. And I've got the carbs in me so we can like drink. I'm tequila, champagne. I'm ready to. This, like, it's my like.
The prep is 36 hours in advance, and this is
it's the get right meal experience, it's motherfucker. The get right
meal experience. Take notes. I'm like sitting here, like I wrote it down. It's like shit, you know.
Yeah, that was amazing. That changed my life.
Do it, and then like, babe, and I'm telling you, like after I turn like, this year, my pussy's been hella wet, like. Hella wet, just like on its own, and I'm like, what the fuck? And then with that too, and if you're into squirting, that's the time. You got all those natural juices from all that fruit, you're ready, you're about to have a great time.
I fucking love it. The get right meal experience sponsored by Chef Steph. All right, cool. Steph is gonna stick around for maybe like 10 more minutes. We're going to get into an herbal self-care tip of the week. Yeah, take it away. What's going on?
So I thought of this self-care tip of the week because of the fact that and it's funny because you said in the beginning that you don't want to smoke because you're just not built like that. It's anxiety and stuff like that. And I struggle with anxiety a lot when I smoke, but I will not stop doing it. I don't know what it is. I'm like, yeah, I'm anxious. I'm having an existential crisis, but pass me the blood. I'm going to do this again. I do it all the time. And it's also like if there's a circle around me and everybody's passing something, I just think to myself, like, I can't do it. I've been shamed enough times that I will pass. I will take it, even if I don't know how I'm going to turn out. But one thing that has been really helping me lately is smoking herbs. So now, a lot of people think of herbs like cannabis, but it's actually just herbs, like regular ones. And there are a ton of smokable herbs that help with anxiety. And also, if you're just like in a circle and everyone just got the weed, instead of it being like a fully weed joint, it could be a mixture of herbs. So I wanted to kind of put that out there because I think a lot of people don't know that. I see, I'm glad you're nodding because that means that it's not a, it's not the wildest concept. It's something that like I do myself. I definitely bought some herbs in bulk recently so that I can just like whenever it gets passed around and I want to be a part of it, I can at least control my high a little bit. So I just wanted to talk about a couple of them that I've tried. For like just the base, I've tried Mullein, which is a tasteless, I hope I'm saying this right because I've seen it a million times. I think it's Mullein. It's a tasteless light smoke. It's revered as a highly medicinal herb that cleanses lung infections and inflammation. It's an expectorant, meaning that it helps break up respiratory congestion and promotes productive coughing. You know, you'd be hearing the cough and stuff like that, but this is supposed to help you clear it out and like you get higher, but you're also having a better time. And it also has no flavor, so it makes a great base for an herbal smoking blend. A lot of people cut weed with Fronto. I don't know if Fronto is a New York thing. Fronto is like a tobacco leaf that you are not supposed to get to the corner store, but everybody has it at the corner store. So Mullein kind of takes that effect, and it's not tobacco, but it's something that cuts it and kind of makes it last longer. So that's cool. Ginseng is also something that you can smoke. A lot of people know ginseng for like teas, but it's also used as a tonic for restoring balance in the body. It releases medicinal properties when it's smoked. It dilates constricted vessels in the lungs, allowing for a deep and more effective breathing. And it also cleanses the adrenal glands and reduces the physical side effects of stress on your body, such as high cortisol levels in the bloodstream. And as an added bonus, it also provides a refreshing boost of energy and optimism, which then in turn lessens your fatigue and anxiety. Then there's also bergamot. I love the smell of bergamot, but it's a great lungs antiseptic. And it's rich in oregano oil, which is a plethora of healing properties. Commonly it's used to help smokers quit cigarettes. So some people might not want to do tobacco or nicotine and they'll just switch to herbs. And it significantly reduces nicotine cravings as both an herbal smoke and it's an essential oil form. In fact, this unique herb has been shown to have to help with dependency and compulsive disorders. And it hails from the citrus family, so it also has an uplifting energy and immune-boosting properties.
Isn't bergamot the one that's in Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina?
It is. It's a widely regarded herb. I don't know if I'm
trying to smoke that, man. I don't know.
It keeps coming back. At this point, you're like, is it pussy? Is it for herbs?
Is there a world that exists where there are vaginal scented rolling papers?
I don't know, but I feel like with the legalizations in New York and where we have
Shit's gonna get real weird.
And then there's two that like those are the ones that you kind of use for like the base, but then there's some that you can use for like flavoring and for smell and all that type of stuff. So lavender and rose petals are both things that people are using in their blends. It's a calming herb for lavender. It's one of the best ones for de-stressing and leaving behind a better smell than just straight up cannabis. And it's not only said to help with nervousness and insomnia, but it can also relieve painful headaches, muscle sores, and intestinal gas. And rose petals, which a lot of people are using instead of like actually crushing it in there, they're actually using it as what you roll it up in. I've seen that happen before. It's a little expensive, but you know, to each his own. They're said to create a feeling of inner peace and act as an aphrodisiac, and it smells amazing, and it also helps reduce depression. So these are all things that you could smoke by themselves, or you can smoke them with cannabis and just like have a good time, you know. So maybe you got some. I've seen people smoke, I don't know if you should, but dandelions, because they're in your backyard, so that you just do it. I don't know. And then what was the other thing that I was going to say? I don't remember. But yes, there's a lot of different herbs that you can smoke.
You had mentioned to me when we were producing this episode that, because I was like, isn't smoking things like, yeah, no matter what it is, the actual process of smoke and your lungs is like, that might not be the best thing. But you were like, you can vape herbs too.
Yes, you can vape herbs. You can, I mean, all of these things, the good things are is they can also be done as a tea. It's all different ways to ingest the herbs, like that are not necessarily smoking. And that's the most harmful, not the most harmful, but that is the most abrasive way to consume these products. But you can put chamomile. Chamomile is also smokable as well for the same properties that it would be for tea. It's all about just like whatever combination you like. And just like with cannabis, we're now finding different ways to ingest things. So like they have tinctures with herbs in them. They have all this type of stuff where it's no longer just smoking it as the only medium to getting it. But yeah, I wanted to give that a self-care tip because I've heard that a lot with me, but a lot of people in general just saying that like anxiety. Another thing is you could just add CBD to your herbs. I don't know why I didn't know that CBD came as a flower, because obviously it does, but you could just get CBD flower and put it in there with cannabis and THC, and like it'll make it more CBD forward, and therefore you're not exactly getting this huge punch, because THC and cannabis in general is way stronger than it was before, and they're cultivating it to make it even stronger. So it's understandable that people are like, okay, the negative effects are also hitting me a lot more than the positive ones as well. So there's definitely different ways if you still want to enjoy it and still want to be social about it, or just want to enjoy yourself and get a little high, but not, you know, not sitting here freaking out.
Don't get too high. Yeah. Where you think your best friend is trying to kill you.
Yeah.
Shout out to that. 2016. That was the last time I smoked weed.
What? Yeah. And that's the thing. I used to be a huge pothead, and like, I enjoy cannabis, and I had lost my love for it because of how anxious it was making me. And obviously, like, for me, it was underlying anxiety in general. So once I got that fixed and all, once I got that, like, you know, looked at, not fixed, but once I started like managing that and realizing that this is exasperating something that I already have and I can just figure that out, and I started finding different ways to do it, it's just a better smoke and a better, I can get back to loving weed again. So that's cool.
Shout out to the personalization and individualization of this communal experience that is cannabis.
Yeah.
Cool. Steph, anything to add on our herb discussion?
Oh, yeah. The only other one I would say, I heard of like dried spearmint too. So like if you crave like that menthol.
Yes.
Yeah. It gives it like a nice little clean like flavor and taste. So I like enjoy adding that as well. I've definitely done it. So it's a good mix.
Dig it. Thank you very much. This has been a really fun episode, Steph. Is there anything else that you would like to add that you super duper want Inner Hoe Uprising listeners to know about you or cannabis or pleasure or anything like that?
Yeah, free all the niggas who are incarcerated right now.
That's a fact.
Because of drug charges, because of marijuana charges, because of nonviolent drug crimes. Let people out. 420 is like an amazing holiday, but there's a lot of privilege that comes with it. So if you are going to be openly displaying your cannabis, like, please have respect for other people who cannot do that. But yeah, you can find me at Instagram. Like, that's just my, like, you know, like, as a responsibility, like, PSA announcement. But you can find me on Instagram at highlyfavored_Steph, and then my website, highlyfavoredsteph.com, to learn a little bit more about me. Thank you so much again. I'm so pumped. I'm like, oh, I'm going to listen to this and be like, damn, this bitch was so high. It's been so great. Thank you.
Thank you. You did really well. You did really well.
No, you did. Honestly, I was going to say you did well. There was never a moment where I was like, damn, son. I wouldn't say that anyway, but just don't think that anybody was going to think that. You were very eloquent and you would not have known.
Yeah. Even that one moment where you went off the tangent, that was like the perfect tangent. You were just like, fuck capitalism, fuck labor. I'm not trying to do all this bullshit. Like, down with the mammy stereotype.
Like. Oh, and yeah. Enjoy your cannabis. Yeah. Enjoy 420. Get some weed. I'm cooking some good ass food. I'm doing like a New Orleans style infused and inspired fish plate, mac and cheese, sweet potatoes, like some smoked turkey greens, fried catfish, a cornbread, and some like lemon cake.
Yo, yeah, I'm hungry, son.
Let's eat.
Love it. I'm very much down for it. Okay. Thank you, Steph.
Thank you.
If this episode made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good, made you question yourself in a good way, or positively moved you in any sense, please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher and let everyone you know that you love these hoes. We appreciate all of you.
And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inner Hoe Uprising without the G on Twitter, Inner Hoe Uprising on Instagram and Facebook, and you can join our Facebook group by searching Inner Hoe Uprising, CUMMUNITY, and head over to innerhoeuprising.com to pay a hoe. You can also follow me, Rodeca, at The Darkest Timeline on Instagram, and my Finstagram is Fat Black Snack. Yeah, I don't go on Twitter. It's there, but let's be real. It's unused.
But if people at you, will you say
if anything? If you at me, it's Rebby or not. No, it's existing crisis. Sorry. Yeah, I won't get it.
Just at least you're honest. At least you're honest. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, and other things at SlamRid. You can check out our guest at Highly Favorite Stuff on Instagram. Cool. And all of that will be in the show notes. Have a lovely week because you motherfucking deserve to. Bye.
Bye.